Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. So let's just get right to it.
I think it's appropriate to start this thing off with popcorn.
With what?
Popcorn.
Popcorn?
That's right.
I got my popcorn ready. Shout out to the great Terrell Owens.
Baby.
All right.
Well, if this weekend didn't get you ready for football, I don't know what possibly could.
I know, right? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Full of Sound and Fury Podcast. I'm Cyrus Mortazavi. I'm coming in amped. From PAX West 2016, recording on in the Rise Again production studio on the evening of Labor Day. So if you're listening to this, you're back to your miserable fucking life. But I hope your weekend was awesome. Mine sure as hell was. With me online from the ATX is Keyshawn Bichelle hyphen Swoops.
Woo-hoo-hoo! That's right. You're going to get double-teamed tonight.
I'm going to mention real quick in absentia. The rest of our party, Riyad Wabi of Stanford, California, is on a deadline. And Ariel Rodriguez of Austin, Texas, as well, is planning a wedding across the pond in 2 months. So I'm giving him the week off. Made an executive decision there.
There you go. There you go. You're a kind but generous master.
I am. But I'm going to ride your ass tonight, Keyshawn. So, yes, football is afoot.
Oh, just to get myself amped up for it, last Wednesday night before everything kicked off, I went and got Goldie Hawn's, watched that all the way through.
See, mine's Any Given Sunday.
Really?
Yeah. That's so funny.
That never hung on me as well. I like Goldie Hawn's Wildcats, and then there's the other one that I can't remember the name of it, but it was with Robin Williams and Kurt Russell.
This might be an age thing, because my second is The Replacements.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, I adore
Keanu?
That thing.
Keanu?
Yeah. With Keanu. I don't know who Keanu is.
He was Keanu back in the day. Before Neo, it was Keanu.
Keanu. When was he Ted?
When was he Ted? Did somebody call him Ted?
It was Ted Theodore Logan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I call him Theodore.
Oh, I guess we were tight.
The best of times. That's the other one.
Oh, I thought you were calling Bill Ted's Excellent Adventure the best of times.
Oh, that too. It was.
I have never seen any of these movies you just mentioned. I've heard of most of them.
All right, look, you really need to see The Best of Times. That one holds up. It's middle-aged men that lost their high school championship that want to get them back together and play it again. So it's a bunch of 40- and 50-year-old men trying to play football.
But I've seen Married with Children. Isn't that the same thing?
No, Married with Children was came after this. This was just spot-on perfect with Robin Williams and Kurt Russell. It's brilliant. You need to see that movie. I mean, it's not like, Lord of the Rings brilliant, but...
Sure, I got you.
If you're looking for a weekend slate of football movies to watch, mm-hmm. That one's right up there at the top.
Well, allow me to repay the favor. Any Given Sunday's Al Pacino's pregame speech in the third act is a masterpiece.
Oh, I've seen it. It just never rang my bell. I don't know. I don't know why it didn't. Everybody seems to freaking love it. And, it was one of those ones like, maybe I ought to watch it again. Maybe I was with the wrong people when I watched it. That happens to me a lot, where I'll see it with the wrong people, and it's like...
That movie came out 17 years ago, and it feels like it came out today. It's a really, really good look at both sides of the NFL, business and entertainment.
Yeah. I probably need to watch it.
It's got an incredible cast.
It's been too
top
long.
Top to bottom.
I think it's been too long. I need to watch it.
Yeah, you do. Okay, but first, all right. So I was at PAX in line. So during that inaugural Saturday night game, which was on a Sunday this year, between Notre Dame and Texas.
Let's talk about the rest of the day first, the rest of the weekend first.
Okay, go for it. I mean, I only caught part of the game because I happened to be in line and was getting a nice feed from ESPN.
This was being hyped up, and I think the hype lived up to it as being the best slate of kickoff games ever, and certainly best slate of kickoff games ever in Texas. And it started off Saturday morning with Houston versus OSU down in Houston.
And OU.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say OSU? I'm sorry. OU. OU sucks. Then follow that up with Texas A&M hosting UCLA, and then the night kicker was Alabama USC. And you know, if you were ardent enough fan and could haul ass fast enough, you could theoretically make it to each game. And that would have been an epic Saturday to catch those three games. All three of them were good, although Alabama just pounded USC into oblivion. Or as Mike Tyson likes to say, Bolivian. But Houston.
No, that's not Mike Tyson. That's Shannon Sharp he just did.
No, I thought it was Mike Tyson.
No, Mike Tyson's high-pitched.
Well, okay, well, I wasn't trying to hit the voice.
Oh, okay.
I think there's an interview where he talks about Bolivian. Now I gotta. Yeah, Mike Tyson, Bolivian. That's it. He's gonna fade into Bolivian.
I stay corrected.
That's all right.
But and Mike Tyson lower.
I did use my low voice, which would obviously make you think of Shannon Sharp. Which, by the way, Shannon Sharp, he's moved now to the NFL Network or something.
I thought he was like on Fox Sports 1 or something really bad.
I think you're right. He's moved though. He's no longer where he was, which is a shame. I enjoyed him. Let's see. So, yeah,
he performs the fourth jackass role as well as anyone.
Yeah, yeah,
and that actually is a kind of a small art unto itself.
Haven't they started moving to five jackasses now?
Oh, it's all the jackasses they can get in there.
My God, I mean, it's not going to be too long until it's going to be like the presidential campaign night when the vote's going on and they've got like two tables in a row of experts, like five on the first, five on the second, and it's just like this god awful maelstrom of morons yakking about something. I give Fox 5 years before they get there. I mean, if they're watching the the election night, they're going to clue in on it, and it's going to be ruined for everybody. I think it was good. I think four is a good number. I think any more than that's too many.
Well, I've structured this podcast would suggest that I'm in 100% agreement with you.
Well, I just figured you couldn't find six more friends. Just all of us just cramming on top of one another.
No, I certainly could. But some of them like want to like raise their children and or do other things. I don't understand any of that.
You have the good sense to know not to put 10 people on a podcast.
That's what I'm saying.
You won't hear anything. But Fox, nope. they don't have that kind of sense.
Nope.
So Houston upset OU. They had a it's the first time I've heard this term, and I guess maybe it's been around forever and I'm just the one that never heard it. But when you're kicking a field goal and it's short and you have a defender back to catch it and can run it back, and if he does successfully run it back for a touchdown, it's called a kick six. And I've never heard that phrase before.
I'm not sure that's a real thing.
Thing now. It's been
no.
1,000 million times on the
line. Oh, I've seen it before, but actually more so in the NFL. But as far as there being a term for it, I think I'm calling bullshit on that.
Oh, well, everybody's using it now. Because, man, Houston, they had like a 109.9-yard return, kick six. It was all over everything. It was impressive, and Houston just spanked OU. Man, they whipped them all over the field. You know, we're well trained people watching OU, and OU likes to let people think they're going to win for 3.5 quarters, and then all of a sudden wake up and just start miracling themselves back. And I just thought for sure this was going to be it again, and it didn't happen. Houston just whipped them, flat out whipped them. And A&M, they actually were going to win. They were going to win, and then they tripped over their own dick. They had the ball. They had possession, they could have at least attempted to try and run down the clock. And they, on first down, they got several yards. And on the second down, they decided to pass. On third down, they decided to pass. And then on fourth down, they gave it away. And there was enough time on the clock. UCLA came back and whipped them. And you just look at A&M going, what the hell were you thinking? I mean, you knew the precise moment that they just collapsed on themselves.
I thought A&M had actually won. That's so funny. I must have stopped. I must have bailed on that game early.
Wait a minute. I thought UCLA came back.
I don't know.
Hang on.
Again, I was at PAX all weekend long. Well, not all weekend, but so I've got gaps in my football viewing schedule.
No. The part that stood out to me was A&M had it in control and then completely floundered in the fourth quarter and let them come back and tie it. I forgot that then A&M and Bruins went to overtime where A&M won.
Okay, that's what I thought I remembered.
So again, it's one of those things like they should have won it outright and not had to gone through all that hassle. Yeah. But Texas won, so that's great. Then Alabama, they just stomped a mud hole in USC, and it's always fun watching ESPN just literally feel pain from watching USC lose. And I want to ask you again why that is. Why do you think ESPN is so
beloved of USC?
Yeah.
Enamored of? That's the word I was looking
enamored.
For.
Beloved. Yeah, I think that's the right term.
Yeah. I got nothing, man.
Are they stationed out there?
No. As a matter of fact, I think that most of their contract is with the SEC.
But I mean, like, physically, where is I can't remember where ESPN is.
Oh, right. Where is ESPN?
Connecticut. But they do have a Los Angeles branch.
Okay.
They're in Bristol.
I was about to say, in professional sports, they always have a strong New York bias. So I was guessing East Coast.
Well, Bristol, Connecticut, I think you'd be right. But it seems to me like they really do have a USC slant. They've always had it. So then we come.
Well, back when they were a powerhouse, I understood it. But yeah, now it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, right.
But to be fair, NBC has been on Notre Dame's jock for over a century.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why Notre Dame's kind of like Dallas. You know, everybody loved Notre Dame just because they could watch them. It's kind of like Ted Turner's genius with the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody cheered for the Braves through the 80s and the 90s because you could watch all of them.
Well, and that's why continuing with baseball, why the Cubs are bigger than they should be. WGN.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So now we come to Sunday. And it's been a dark time here in the Keyshawn household. I don't know about your household, but
oh, man,
it's been a dark time.
I had forsworn college football. Because my only allegiance was to my alma mater, and we had just been so bad for so long.
Yeah.
And I know I don't want to sound like an entitled sports fan here. I mean, I don't need them to be winning a title every year. I don't need them to, you know, even be winning like their division crown every year. I need them to be, you know, competitive.
Relevant.
Yeah. Ultimately, with the endowment that Texas has, financial endowment, they really should be a top 25 team every year. Anything else is gravy, but if they're not hitting that, they're doing something wrong. And they've been outside that for 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Since, I'd argue, whenever Colts' last game was, they were showing the statistics. Did you even watch the game?
I have kind of a funny story. Once you probably saw me tweet this on Twitter. I realized, oh no, we're the national game because it's Notre Dame. Fuck, the whole nation's gonna watch us fail. But then I realized it's ESPN's got it, so you know I'm streaming it on my app while I'm in line for Acquisitions Incorporated at PAX, and I'm like the one sports fan in this group of like of gamers, and there's I think it was the first quarter where Bouchel on third and long like. You know, his outside receiver comes free inexplicably, and he hits him in the hands, and he drops it. And I all of a sudden, catch the ball, you fuck! And everyone just looks at me like I'm a crazy person. I'm like, I'm sorry. My bad. everyone goes back to their DS, but
right.
Yeah.
So did you get to catch the whole thing, or did you end up?
No. ACK Inc. was 3 hours in Benaroya Hall over on Third Avenue, and it's just there is none of the G's get in there. Certainly not 4G. So yeah, right. I missed about 2/3 of the game.
Oh man, it was something else, man. After you know, it's been unfair on Charlie Strong to punish him for the failures of the previous administration to get him any decent staff, decent players, that type of thing. It's been all hung on him. And so for 2 years, it's just been a source of mighty frustration. Last year was the first sign of any type of life because you could see how many freshmen were playing. And, you know, Malik Jefferson, if he's going to be something special in the NFL, there's no doubt.
Well, during the part of the game I saw, he made that really nice delayed blitz tackle where he fainted to make Zaire, I think his name was, commit, and then he tackled. I was like, oh, that's some hot shit right there.
Oh, it really, really, really. So, you know, he's one of the special shining spots from last season. There weren't a lot. But then coming into this, you know, everybody's in local radio, local news are basically saying this is the year Charlie Strong's got to win 7 games or he's out. And it drives me nuts to no end. I disagree with that. I think that he's got sophomores and freshmen. He still does not have an upperclassman that he selected yet. And I think he ought to have at least 1 year where he's got an upperclassman before you toss him out on his rear.
Counter argument to that, which I mostly agree with. If he's bringing in the kind of talent he should be in this market, he's going to win 7 games with sophomores or freshmen. He might not do much else. Like 7's probably the limit.
I don't know. That's awful high for freshmen and sophomores starting. I mean, it's college football.
If you're a decent program, you have 5 losses. You can pencil in automatically, or 5 wins. Excuse me.
I don't know. I don't know that the games are quite that stacked as they used to be. I'd argue 3 or 4. But after that, I mean, you know, the folks that used to be TCU and Baylor are now TCU and Baylor. So those don't count anymore.
Right.
You're really talking about the Rices, the North Texases. You know, you don't have as many of those because they're starting to schedule these bigger games like freaking Notre Dame at the beginning of the season. You know, and this goes back to even Mack Brown's days with Ohio State and
right.
Other big name games, UCLA.
But usually it's just 1 or 2 of those a year, though, right?
That's right. But then you factor those in with the Big 12.
Correct, and I think that's where you're going with that.
Yeah,
that's where that argument makes a lot of sense. It's just it's a more competitive division than it was just a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's hard to compare because it's like, well, when the Big 12 gets up against others, we beat them. But, you know, we beat each other up so much that we don't look that great compared to SEC, which has those high-flying offenses and crazy games.
Well, the SEC also has that same phenomenon where I feel like they suppress their win totals a little bit. But it's just, you know, the national title goes through Bama right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's theirs to lose.
Right, right.
They're not the prohibitive favorite every year, but they are the favorite. And they should be.
What I love about this season, though, is it really does look like you could lose one and still have a shot. You know, I think the framework with the playoffs and everything else has changed so much, and how the bowl selection committee picks the 4 finalists. I love how much they hang on the difficulty of your schedule. And with that difficulty of schedule being so important as it plays throughout the year, I mean, even more so than before with the BCS. Before, it was every game counts, every game matters. But if you lost one, you were almost guaranteed to be out. It was a rare situation where you lost one, you still got in.
Right.
Where now, you can lose one, but depending on the strength of your schedule, you know, like OU losing to Houston. OU wants Houston to win out. Man, they want them bad to win out. Houston's probably the same predicament, where Houston last year just missed the cut because they lost to, oh God, UConn. Freaking collapsed against, they were killing everybody and then lost to UConn last year. So now you've got it where, you know, just one loss, you know, doesn't necessarily kill you all the way. All the games are critical, and who you played and who you beat is critical, and who you lost to is critical.
Well, that, I think that's always been the case, but maybe more so, like you're saying. But I getting back to your first point, I do like the idea that I like the effect that having that committee that selects based on, it's more merit based, is having a trickle down effect where now we have, we're going to have several good games every weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God bless America, college football needed that in a bad way.
Oh boy. They got it. They did it right. And man, the last 2 days or any account, it's just been brilliant. But going back to Charlie Strong, I really feel like going into this game, you know, I had very little, very, very little game because Notre Dame, their offensive line are just monsters. And last year, our defense was pudding. It was just the only shining spot was Malik. Everything else was there wasn't much to hope for. But coming into this one, I was just, you know, shaking my head going, man, I'd really love to see him pull it out. But even just please make a strong showing. You know, just come – and, yeah, you're right. I think it was right early on in the first quarter when the dude got hit in the hands. Was it Burt? I think it was Burt.
I don't know their names, man. It hasn't been worth, like, keeping up with for years.
Well, Burt's the speedster and their number one go-to receiver, at least coming out of last year. And hit him right in the hands. He dropped it.
He had a stepper, too. That was a 7 if he catches the damn ball.
I know, yeah. Hell, the one later that they threw to him, big deep, that Bouchel hit him on, he nearly dropped that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like Mike the Room Troll catching a ball, man. It hit him in the chest, kind of bouncing down. He's grabbing it, trying to wrap it up as he's running.
Come on now. I got to go to bat for Mike. Mike has hands.
Well, the difference is that Mike wasn't going almost 40 miles an hour. Man, that Burt dude can fly. He can move.
That's true.
He had a step on those guys all night, and they're eventually just having to dedicate a safety to him, which is what made the run so great. And man, DeAndre Ward, what was it? DeAndre something, brother. Can't remember his name. See, I don't know the name.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's been dark days, man.
Is it DeAndre?
It's DeAndre something.
DeAndre McNeil? Is that it? No, that's a wide receiver.
Ward sounds right, but
DeAndre,
I don't think
Jefferson.
It is.
Jefferson. Ah, hell. I don't know. I should pull up. I should have been prepared and pulled up.
Okay, that's my bad. You know, I actually have a note outline because I wanted to make sure we hit everything in our somewhat limited time frame, but it's all NFL stuff.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, this is a good preparatory for going into the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got all the time.
They were all over last night. It was just brilliant. So, anyway, coming into the game, I just wanted them to have a strong showing. And once they started going long with Bouchel, I was like, oh, my God, the fast pace. If you got to watch enough of the first quarter.
Up-tempo, I saw it.
It was like watching Baylor or Texas Tech that just boom, boom, boom. And I was sitting there going, I've never seen Texas do this. And I was actually really worried that our offensive linemen were going to start just throwing up on the field. I was like, are these the same guys from last year? Because, oh, my Lord, they're going to be dying.
Well, I think it's a new OC, right? I think I read that on the Ringers recap of the game.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah. Good Lord, what's his name?
It's fine. I keep coming up with
Blake Griffin. That's not it.
Oh, man, if only.
Hang on. Okay. Oh, Sterling Gilbert. That's it. Sterling Gilbert. What a great name. I'm just afraid that if we do too good this year, he's going to be gone.
No, I don't think he would get a new job quite that fast. We're not the program we used to be.
Oh, I couldn't have been happier with what happened, how it shook out. So, anyway, I couldn't go through the whole – I could go through the whole game, but, you know, the fast up-tempo at the front, that really helped out the first and second quarter, man. Their defense literally was just not even ready half the time. They were scrambling. They were trying to sub in winded guys, and it was working. My fear was just that we were going to fall apart because we were trying to hustle, you know, guys in there, and a lot of the time we weren't even bringing anybody in. Deontay Foreman.
Okay.
That's his name, Deontay Foreman. Remember that name. That sucker was a truck. And get this, a junior. He's a junior. So that's one of the old school ones.
Okay, cool.
And, yeah, right? Where's he been, right? So, anyway, boy, he showed up last night. And that play on defense, our defensive line stood up to their O-line. For the most part, it was a bend but don't break, which, you know, they've been doing for several years, except they'd be breaking by about halfway through the second quarter. This time, our offense was staying on the field long enough to give our defense a rest. And the swapping out, you know, they were hot swapping Bouchel in for the during essentially pass plays, and then swoops in for the 18-wheeler package. And what a great name, by the way, the 18-wheeler package.
Hell yeah.
I want to know where it stemmed from, other than just shove it down the throat. It's like an 18-wheeler. There's got to be more to it. But whatever it is.
But that's already beautiful.
Man, I'll tell you what, Swoops, 250 pounds. They did try and have him pass once, and it failed miserably.
They learned their lesson. That's good.
Right. We did have several long passes to former quarterbacks, too. Our former quarterback from last year that, you know, was our savior for the beginning part and then tailed off towards the end. Eventually, Swoops took back over. What the hell was his name? Can't remember his name now. What was it? I'll give you a nice quiet moment here so you can
Blake Griffin.
Damn it, I think you're right. I think Blake Griffin started playing again.
Transfer from LA.
Gerard Hurd, that's it.
And oh, Kyle, I didn't know that. I just didn't want to anymore.
Gerard Hurd and Kai Loxley, both those guys came in as quarterbacks, and they were playing receiver last night. And we were throwing to both of them. And, man, the impressive part was Bouchel. What it reminded me of, it looked like he had a bit of Tim Duncan in him. And what
Boy, that's not where I thought you were going with that, but pray continue.
Well, Tim Duncan, at all times for the last – how long did he play? 20 years? 18 years? Long time.
99 to this year.
Did Tim Duncan ever look like he was riled?
Nope.
No.
Because his nickname was Spock.
His face looked like he was as bored as could be at any given moment of whatever thrilling game was going on. He was just looked like he was bored with the entire endeavor. And that was precisely how Bouchel looked last night. He did not look like a deer in headlights. But he didn't look like Peyton Manning coming out and taking charge either. He just looked like he was just out there and just as calm as could be. And it was unbelievable. They'd show him looking in from the side after on some intense play. He looks like he's bored and looking over at the coach like, what's next? All right. Yeah, that's all right. And go right about his business. And I was amazed that that's an 18-year-old kid. Just amazed. That kid was born in the late 90s and was out there just killing it. These children were born when I graduated from college.
That was a big thing to step into, I have to admit.
Oh, my God.
I feel like his demeanor has been a little over-scrutinized. But, he handled it really well.
Oh, and
wasn't afraid to chuck it?
Yeah, no. Well, the only thing that scares me was that his chucking it was either the standard Texas protector, it's for a lot of folks, including the NFL. When you want your quarterback to have a reception, throw those little out shots to a receiver that's taking one step, you know, whenever you just find the
right
defensive back that's hanging back 6 yards or more and throw it to that receiver so you get a completion. They did those, and they did the long ball.
Mm-hmm.
but there was nothing else. I mean, zilch for four quarters. If there were plays that were going across the middle or crosses or anything like that, I didn't see them.
Those were nice touches on those deeper throws, though.
Oh, yeah, man.
Those were fucking rainbows.
Yeah. Well, you could do that when you got when you have Burt just completely, you know, schooling whoever poor soul is trying to cover it.
I'm talking about his first touchdown pass. He put that right in the corner.
Which one?
The first one to put Texas on the board.
Oh, over there in the corner spot. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was sweet. That was a pro pass. That was a sweet pro pass, man. Right there, just nailed it. And, my God, that, Equanimeous. Well, you know, I am sad that I discovered that name after I already had children. I would have named my kids Equanimeous in a heartbeat.
That sounds like a Pokemon.
Equanimeous yeah. St. John. That's his name. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Can't argue against that.
And let me rewind a little bit. Thursday night, who was playing Thursday night? It was Vanderbilt and not Ole Miss. South Carolina. I think it was that game where I turned on the TV, my first exposure to college football of the 2016 season, and there's a running back named Debo. I'm like, Debo! I said, oh, this is going to be a good game. It's going to be a good season. We're starting off with Debo. It can only get better from here. And I was right. Equanimeous within 4 days. That was the happiest I could be. And the fact that Equanimeous turned out to be really good, that even made it all the better.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was making some pro catches. And that one, did you see the play where he caught it and got tackled across the legs and did a cartwheel and one-handed cartwheel into the end zone?
No.
Oh.
I mean, and I watched about a million replays at the bar, you know, after PAX closed down that night.
Oh, man. It was one of Notre Dame's scores, I think, in the second quarter. Man, That was just some amazing athleticism. You know, he got hit. He's running full tilt and got hit across the legs, like safety came and got him across the shins. And so he flipped and put his left hand down, the hand that didn't have the ball, put his hand down and did like a one-handed cartwheel over and into the end zone. It was amazing. Just amazing. And so we get to the halftime. I think Texas had the lead and a pretty commanding lead at that. Then get to the third quarter and all hell broke loose. And it was just like, oh no, here we go again. Same as last year, we were just having stupid mistakes. Our center needs to be beaten with reeds. And they need to go, the coaching staff need to go to Korea or North Korea or wherever it is.
I thought that was Belgian. At least according was to Austin Powers.
Those are waffles.
No. Whenever he was insulted, he was placed in the Brill left sack and beaten with reeds.
Oh, not by a Belgian, was it? No, I'm thinking of the real life where that guy got punished for, like...
Singapore.
Like that. Singapore.
Is what you're hunting for.
They need to go find that guy from Singapore, bring him over, and get our freshman center and beat him with reeds until he knows how to snap a ball. Because they were long snapping all night. They're basically out of the pro set. And I think it was a close set. They were long snapping all night. And starting about the third quarter, our freshman center just started getting the Jimmy leg. And he was just he was missing, just flat missing the quarterback. And it caused a whole lot of chaos and grief. Notre Dame took advantage of it, came back, tied it up with field goals. And then, we blocked one field goal. This game had everything. Block field goal. Then
it was pretty epic.
Yeah, no lie. We come down and score a touchdown. Then with the extra, or they get up by three. Then we score a touchdown. I believe it was. I can't remember the exact order of events, but we kick an extra point that gets blocked. They get it, run it all the way back for 2 points to tie it. So now it's like 37-37 or something.
That's correct, yeah.
And then they get the ball. amazing play. It's number 80. I'd be lying to you if I I could probably think of his name if I thought about it here for a second, but I'm 99% sure. Maybe it wasn't 80. Maybe it was like 88 or something like that. I can't remember the number. It's driving me nuts because he had an amazing play, and I wanted to call him out. Nevertheless, dude cuts across the field and gets their quarterback on what was sure to be – it was like a third and five, and he gets him, like, right on the shoe and just pulls him down from across the field and stops the, that last yard. So they put it to us, and then we proceed to fall apart. Well, it wasn't true. It was actually just like the whole game in one little drive where we were success, 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 and then failure, 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 where we get like a stupid penalty. Then we have a bobbled snap that snapped it back 20 yards. And at least Bouchel was smart enough to cover it up. You know, two times he showed how intelligent he was, because when the ball got snapped away from him, he went running over there. He didn't try and do anything fancy. He just fell on it and cuddled into a ball. And I thought, my God, the kid, you know, I hate seeing that our quarterback is smart by seeing how stupid our
staff are. Seeing him in the fetal position.
Right, yeah, but, man, that's smart. That's the right thing to do. And he was doing it. But, man, it just made you want to kill our center. So then we go to overtime, and that's where all insanity breaks loose. And we got touchdowns on both ends. My God, that little slow-developing screen over the center. I should say, our success had something to do with the fact that in the fourth quarter, third quarter, we got stomped. But in the fourth quarter, they decided to mix it up a little bit. So it wasn't just if we're running, we went with swoops. If we're passing, we go with Bouchel. But they also started having some run plays with Bouchel. And he had two 12-yard runs or so for first downs. And that completely caught him off guard. Because I think as soon as they saw Bouchel, they were getting ready for the pass. We did have some good running with Bouchel, with Deontay. But when Bouchel started running a couple of times, that really opened it up. And that was how we kind of – those were the linchpin for our fourth quarter, our fourth quarter, quote-unquote, comeback. And then just all the heroics in the first and second overtime. Boy, that was just crazy. You could tell, though, their offensive line was – or their defensive line was winded. Man, we were going so fast. It was just – I was really surprised to see the whole thing.
Well, it's about time that we join the 21st century.
Oh, man. I tell you, it was well done. And,
but to be fair, they've lacked someone who can hit the broadside of a barn.
That's true.
So,
very true. There was no threat.
These things are related for sure.
Yeah. There was no threat. Now we just need to start getting our hands a little bit better. I think Hurd's making a good receiver. If Burt can, you know, really start showing some hands with that speed, then we've got something going. It's so funny because, you know, after all that hype and chaos, now today, you may remember that in Austin on Monday after the weekend, the head coach always has a press conference. And so the coach has to come in there and talk about how they're prepping for UTEP. And I'm like, that's University of Texas of El Paso, by the way. But, you know, it's kind of hard after you've just, I mean, literally hours before beat number 10 Notre Dame. You got to come in and say, all right, here's what we're doing for the University of Texas at El Paso.
Yeah. But you know what? You have to do that. And what's more, you have to go win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to take care of business, so to speak. And yep. I maybe as a summarizing thought here, I'm super excited to be in a position where I can care about the horns again. But, Notre Dame, by virtue of being Notre Dame, has a tendency to be overrated.
Really?
And are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding. I seriously haven't thought they've gotten that kind of privilege in a long time. You're certainly right in the 90s and the 80s, but I don't know that they get overrated.
That's back when they were still good. But, I mean, they're still always on, even when they're not fucking ranked. Which makes me wonder that if just because this team was showing a little bit of life, if maybe they were, that's why they were number 10. I mean, I'm sure they're fine. But our top 10 program, maybe not. It remains to be seen.
I think some of that was coming from last year. They did pretty good last year, and you know, and remember, we can't get too hung up on all these rankings at the beginning of the season.
No, and that's where I was going. Let's temper our expectations. We got a really nice, awesome, dramatic win, and it seems like we have a team that's got some fight in them and has some talent.
Yeah.
But, again,
if I get 7 wins, I'm happy.
Exactly. That's all we know right now. Like, we should be in every game.
I was also happy to learn that we have a defensive tackle whose name is Puna.
Well, the other thing we know is that this team has, like, the best name, All-Stars.
Yes.
I mean, that's...
Man, I don't know how you're going to top Equanimeous.
No, you're not going to.
I mean, what
that's
was
some Harry Potter shit right there.
You really want to know what they were doing. You know, where were they sitting around going, what are we going to... Bill? Bob? Trey?
No, I'm telling you, they're Potter fans. That is a spell
Equanimeous?
Against the dark arts.
No, it isn't. What's it do? Like, makes things balance?
No, it summons a steed that you ride when you're fighting the Death Eaters. I don't know. We've already reached, like, the zenith of my Harry Potter knowledge.
All right, so with all that said, those are the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Now it's coming.
Okay. Now, Pro football returns Thursday night.
Let me preface this by saying that last week, I believe it was last week, time kind of starts blurring together these days, but last week I went and I purchased for the first time in years the Madden video game. I did this with the malice of forethought that my children love video games, and I'm going to get them to like football through this vehicle because then they will understand the rules, which was always the hardest part when I was a little kid.
Okay, now, with you so far?
Well, the problem is that I don't want to share with them. I just want to play it.
That is a problem. You know it's 2-player, right?
Yeah, it could be as many as 4 these days, which is fancy. But anyway, so I am more familiar with the NFL this year than I have been in many a year. Probably
all right.
8 years.
I like to hear that.
Just because, you know, getting Madden and start root through everything and which players and teams, everything else, blah, 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 and showing my kids. So it's like coming out of the dark dungeon that has been having small children for 8 years. And starting to see the daylight a little bit. So I'm in a fantasy football league for the first time in a long time. My team sucks. I've been consistent.
fantasy football really is just like one of those, like, what the hell? Why do I do this to myself kind of things?
Yeah. This is, I have.
Unless you're the team that is good. You know, every league will have 1 or 2 ones that they just kind of get all the luck that year.
Well, I'm pretty sure what happened here was that somebody decided to do a keeper league last May. And so they had an email draft in May of last year.
And that's super stupid. But pray continue.
Because then the people that chose poorly have since just, like, quit showing up to the league. So I basically got an email saying, hey, you have your pick of these 3 teams. Pick whichever team you like. And I look over the 3 rosters, and then I look over all the rest of the rosters, and it's just like, are you seriously kidding me? This is horrible. This is really bad.
If the team is preordained, what is your function as manager of the squad?
I think comedy. That's where I'm going. It's comedy.
I'm a collector of woe.
Exactly. I'm joining it for no other reason than, as you know, my favorite part of fantasy football is writing fake news articles. That's my favorite part. So I'm just going to be doing that all season. And I'm in a pick'em league as well. And I will say last year I was in a pick'em league. I would have been 2nd place, but for the 1 week that I was busy with work and forgot to submit my points for that week. And so I ended up being I wasn't in dead last. I beat people that were trying all year, even though I gave them a week. But so I'm coming out of it. So I'm sitting here looking at my pick'em picks for this coming week right now. So I am prepared to talk football.
All right. So in preparation for this, on my part, I have got 7 questions we're going to lead off with here. And that number is not chosen arbitrarily. It is the point, that is the point total you get for a touchdown followed by a successful extra point. We're going to open up those six questions. I'm saving that seventh one for last after we do our conference reviews.
Okay.
Keyshawn, are you ready?
Oh, you're going to go by conference? Oof. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. At number one, first question. Can the Denver Broncos repeat as Super Bowl champions?
No.
I agree.
What's number two?
No. This is not rapid fire round.
I'm joking. I like how we were both so equanimous.
Sorted.
I am so happy that I got to use that right away. Oh. Record that and play it back.
Okay. So let's break this down. They lose their top two quarterbacks, one of which was Peyton Manning's Walking Dead-style corpse.
Yeah.
And Brock Osweiler, who the Houston Texans have pinned all their hopes on. We'll come to that later.
Oof.
Which is ushered in the age of Trevor Siemian. Who is named after an ape.
Yes.
So we have that. We have the typical free agent defections from the Super Bowl champion. DeMarcus Ware's back is acting up again. Don't like that. CJ Anderson, the anointed one, has never finished the season, a complete season, without being injured. And, I don't see it. I don't see – they had a pretty lucky schedule. They were fairly healthy. The league also decided that they were going to beat the Patriots, even though they weren't the better team. In November, in a game we covered on this very podcast, so that helped them out too.
Oh yeah.
So I think it was a nice run, and I'm sure they'll be fine. But I don't see them getting back to the big dance.
No.
If you want to add,
I would like to add. All right, so they're playing on Thursday night.
They are.
Rematch of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
What a neat situation. From what I've heard, this has never happened before.
No. That's what the NFL does.
Every year?
Well, I believe they open with the champion.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't think they opened with the champion.
Oh, where it's a rematch. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I want to hear your thoughts about the game on Thursday against Carolina. What about this team?
The Panthers?
Well, what about this Denver versus this Carolina as opposed to the Super Bowl last year?
Well, Carolina has its number one receiver coming back from injury, so that bodes well for them. I think they're returning a lot of guys. Obviously, the Josh Norman defection hurts, but probably not that much. I don't know. I have a tough time getting a read on this Carolina team. Because, I mean, I was all in, and then they kind of shit the bed in that Super Bowl, I felt. I was really unhappy with the way – I felt like they made themselves one-dimensional, and that played right into what Denver wanted to do.
Yeah, they definitely collapsed. What do you think about Thursday night now?
Where's it at? We end in Denver or in Carolina?
I have no idea.
Okay.
You're welcome.
It's in Denver.
Okay, so what do you think?
I still think Carolina wins this thing.
I agree. Yeah.
And, yeah, I think that's enough said about that. Although Mark Sanchez is now a Cowboy off his incredible performance in the Denver preseason.
Yeah, you know, on paper it's great. I don't know about it in reality, but on paper, I mean, that's a fifth pick overall, and – Cowboys get a hold of him just as a backup in case. I mean, that's, again, on paper it's great, but I know you're right what you're saying about the preseason.
Oh, Sanchez is awful. He's always been awful.
Yeah. But I don't know that he's ever had a great offensive line in front of him like Dallas has.
No, but during his quote-unquote heyday with the Jets, he had a great defense and a lot of offensive talent around him.
Did he have that good offensive line? I didn't think the Jets had a good offensive line.
I think it was pretty good. Dallas is – this unit that Dallas has assembled over the last several years is exceptional, then it's really good at run blocking and pass blocking. I mean, comparing any unit to that is just unfair.
That's true.
They're an all-timer, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
All right, question number two.
Yes, shoot.
Tom Brady is suspended for 4 games, finally. Does that screw the New England Patriots?
I don't know. Who are they facing?
Well, they open up against the Cardinals, which, I mean, that's not good.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be tough even if you have Brady, I think.
Right, I agree.
Yeah. I have a sneaking suspicion that Jimmy Garoppolo is actually not that good at football.
Janine Garoppolo?
No, but he plays like her.
What does she have to do with this?
Jimmy, or James Garoppolo? I don't know. We can go James here. So here we go. We got Patriots, Cardinals.
I call him Theodore.
Yeah, nice. Then Dolphins. Okay, that helps. Texans at home. And the Bills.
All right, Texans in New England?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still going to be tough.
I don't know. Watt's hurt, man. Watt's got back problems. That's bad for D linemen. As our resident expert on back problems, I think you can speak to that more than I can.
Amen to that.
But, I don't know, Brady is really instrumental to what they do on offense. So, it's pretty equalizing. I guess it'll come down to how good we think the rest of the AFC is. And I'm kind of leaning towards not very good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals are going to be pretty good.
They are in the NFC.
What?
The Cardinals are in the NFC West.
Again, I'm still coming out of the cave.
It's okay. We're going to catch you up. Okay. But the rest of those are conference opponents. Two of them are division opponents.
Yeah, what about the Bills?
The Bills, well, let's put a pin in that. We'll get into the Bills when we do our team-by-team analysis here.
gotcha.
We'll just say right now, I don't feel good about this team. Leave it at that.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a Garoppolo guy. I'm really not, but the schedule doesn't look that bad to me either.
Yeah, it doesn't look horrible. If you've got Houston there and Watt still out.
Yeah, or, you know, just not his normal J.J. Wattzilla self.
I think they could come out 3-1.
Yeah, I think they – that's which is crazy.
Yeah, no lie.
Yeah, this is – the sad thing here is if someone else in the AFC East doesn't make a move this year, it may never happen.
Who would make it?
Who indeed? We'll come back to that.
All right.
Okay, so I don't think this kills them. So let's move on. Question number three, and this one was specifically for you. Oh, is Tony Romo's career over?
God, I hope so.
Yes,
it's over. Yeah, it's over. It was over last year.
You think so?
Yeah, I was honestly expectant that he would not make it more than 3 games, and I was saying it to everybody that would listen to me. I honestly thought that his shoulder just wasn't going to hold up, and that all he had to do is get hit one more time on it, and it'll break again, and people will be like, "Look, this is it. He's already every time he gets hit on it, it breaks."
Yeah.
That's an end. That's when you're over. And it already happened twice. And with, I think, more normal mortals, twice would be enough for any of them. But with the predicament with Jerry and Romo both, I think that's why they're trying to force it.
Romo is just a tough motherfucker. I mean, whatever else you think of him, he's proven that. He tried to go back out with the fractured bone.
Yeah. Hey, he was happy with how good his back held up, and he didn't know it was broken at that point.
Yeah. And he's done that a couple of times in his career already.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, good on him.
I wouldn't argue that at all.
But no, he hasn't. You're probably right. He hasn't been moving around very well in about 2 years. Me watching him, like the throws are still mostly there, but he really seems he doesn't run very well.
No,
he's still got really good pocket awareness, which helps.
Well, and he's got the best offensive line you could ever hope for at that point in your career.
Mm-hmm.
He's waited for that offensive. It's a shame they didn't have that kind of offensive line 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah, I think with whomever else.
Yeah, yeah.
They had that offensive line. I'm a big believer in O-lines, not just because I'm a big guy, but because I really think if you have a good offensive line, that does wonders.
I think that anything starts in the trenches now on both sides.
He's going to get hit and something's going
to
happen.
With the way that they've changed the pass coverage rules, you have to get out of the quarterback.
Yeah.
So D-line's super important too.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think Romo's toast.
Yeah, I think partly I thought that too because you mentioned fantasy football. I took Romo in an auction league and thought I got pretty good value, but I was very careful to get a second quarterback that I thought was also very good.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah,
I would take Romo as first pick.
Oh well, I think that Dallas is going to be a relative bargain because everyone there tends to be recency bias with this kind of shit, and everyone's thinking remembering that 3-13 team, not the 2014 team that when it's healthy is really good.
Right.
We got Dez Bryant coming back, and he's a crazy person, and Dallas has no one coming back on defense. I mean, I think you and I could play if we wanted to.
Hey, yeah,
we could work into the rotation there on D line.
I'm just waiting on the call.
So, I mean, you throw that in, this team is going to have to score a lot to be competitive. Not win games, just to be in them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I targeted both Bryant and Romo.
Yeah.
Bryant's too, especially because he's a crazy person, and Dak Prescott showed a propensity for forcing the ball to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, with our running game and our offensive line, we're going to keep on repeating that, then that's going to open up a lot of pass opportunities where they're not going to be able to double cover that near as much.
Yeah. And I still got Witten and Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as
what do you think of Williams?
I think he is someone that they should keep through the duration of his rookie contract and then let him go. And if, as my younger brother claims, and I don't believe this theory, but he claims that Stephen Jones is running more of the team than he used to. And if that's the case, Terrence Williams will not be offered a second contract with the Dallas Cowboys.
Huh.
But I suspect he will be.
Give me some background on that again.
Which one's that? Terrence Williams or Stephen Jones?
Jones.
Stephen Jones, this to me actually is why I've become so disenchanted and frustrated with the Dallas Cowboys is Jerry's elder son is I really think has the makings of a great general manager if he was just empowered to be one. Particularly every offseason, and this speaks to me how bad Jerry is in the role. There's a conversation with someone on the roster who's being paid like a superstar and he's just a starter. And it goes something like this. Okay, my dad's dumb, and you're making three times your market value. You have to either take less, or I'm cutting you, and you can see you can, and we'll see you figure out if you can get half of that back on the open market. And they inevitably take the pay decrease. Stephen Jones understands how to run a football team. He's much colder and more ruthless about it, more businesslike. If you think that's too pejorative of a take, but Jerry's problem continues to be that he's too close to the team. And once these guys have put together a few games, he gets excited and he overpays the shit out of them. And thus Dallas is always perpetually in cap trouble. Stephen does not seem to suffer from that particular flaw. So, my theory, if Stephen is in fact transitioning to the general manager role, whether it be officially or just, you know, behind the scenes, Terrence Williams, who is just a guy at number two will not be offered a second contract. I'm not a proponent of this theory, but I think that's how we'll figure out how it's going. taking it from the top. Question number four.
All right.
Are the Oakland Raiders and Jacksonville Jaguars for real?
I would have bet money you were going to say the L.A. Rams.
Clearly, you've not watched Jared Goff play football.
Why is that?
He's not good at football.
Not so far, he isn't.
Neither is Jeff Fisher.
No, but I thought that with all the hype surrounding the Rams their move, that was going to be one of the two teams you were talking about that have been bad and people are jumping on the hype train.
Maybe if they weren't in the same division as the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
I mean, being the third best team in that division sounds about right for them. Kind of sounds like their ceiling.
That would be an improvement.
Yeah.
So, you're saying the Raiders and whom else?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, I can't imagine either one of them turning it around yet.
Okay. I'm in on the Raiders.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think they actually have one of the best general managers going right now. And, okay. I mean, that was a team that just needed its stupid owner to die. And that mantle actually, I'm sorry to say, has been passed on to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I don't love Jack Del Rio as a head coach, but I think he's a pretty good one. I think he's one of the better ones.
Yeah.
And they've made some real good draft picks. They made some nice acquisitions in the free agent market for defense too.
Uh-huh.
I think they're probably going to be pretty good on that side of the ball. Carl Joseph in particular, the safety from West Virginia, that kid's a motherfucker. I'm telling you right now.
What about Mac?
Oh, Mac's a badass, but that's known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Amari Cooper.
And that's interesting because Amari Cooper is only marginally better than Michael Crabtree when you look at the stats. So they've got two receivers.
Yeah.
They added a great guard. I can't say his name. I want to say Assimile. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. Derek Carr is good. Maybe not great, but he's good.
Did they pick up – weren't they one of the beneficiaries of the flocking of free agents from Denver?
Oh, God.
They pick up Irvin, that linebacker?
Bruce Irvin from Seattle. I'm going to have that correct.
Oh, okay.
That's one. They made some savvy moves in free agency. Yeah. Guys that I think could come in and plug and play.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm a firm believer in those teams where they get their free agents and those free agents are getting paid. They're not trying as hard as they do during those contract years.
That's fair. But neither and it's probably true. I think that's just a good way to look at it. But none of them are in really critical roles.
Okay.
So they don't have to be badasses. Most of the talent there is homegrown.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think
I don't think Oakland's going to be awesome, but the days of us, joking them and making fun of them as the worst team in the league are behind them far and away.
I think with those moves, they're going to be better. I don't know if they're going to be in the playoffs, but
I think they'll contend for the playoffs for sure. They're going to be a player in it.
Well, given how much equanimity there is amongst teams in the NFL, he used it again.
Yeah. Now, Jacksonville, I'm not in on.
No.
It's a very similar situation, but I don't like the free agent moves for the most part, and I don't like the coach.
Who is the coach?
Yeah, I think that says it all right there. Gus Bradley, one of Pete Carroll's defensive coordinators.
No, I think what's more important is when you say Gus Bradley when I say, who's that?
Yeah, right.
Of course, you can then pick up this clip when they're in the Super Bowl and play it.
I don't think that's going to happen, my man.
Hey, did they wait a minute. I can't remember. Yeah, I'm not big on Jacksonville. I never have been.
No. I mean, they're not awful anymore, but I have a sneaking suspicion this was Gus Bradley's last year as the coach. Yeah. And frankly, if they don't show an improvement, it should be.
Well, I'm hesitant to pose questions back to you, but I'm going to throw one back at you just in
case for it.
You'll have it later. But what about the big dogs that you think are going to falter?
Well, I felt like we started with one. We opened with Denver. I don't love Green Bay. You're talking to a guy who picked against them in the playoffs, against Washington of all fucking things, and then they finally showed up and looked like the Packers that we were accustomed to in the playoffs. Just, I guess, to spite me. But they didn't do much in free agency. They built Jordy Nelson a new knee. Yeah, I feel good about that.
That's kind of him. He's faster, stronger, better.
Yes, precisely. I don't think Minnesota is going to be as bad as everyone thinks in this post-Teddy Bridgewater era.
Really? Who do you think they're going to have a quarterback?
Well, they've already declared it in week one. It's Sean Hill, who is not great, but he is probably one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league.
Okay.
And then it's Sam Bradford.
Yeah, I heard about him.
Who spells his name with two R's.
Brrr. It's the Gaelic part of him.
You didn't get my joke. Damn it.
No.
It's okay. Somewhere Real or sometime Real will be listening to this and he'll get a chuckle out of it.
All right.
Okay, so number five.
Number five.
Ooh, this one's fun. What is currently the biggest rivalry in the NFL?
The first answer that comes to my head is New England against the NFL. if there's a bigger rivalry than that right now, I don't
know. What about the NFL versus Roger Goodell?
I think the whole world hates Roger Goodell.
The world is correct.
Yes, you're right. I mean, that is a man that's worthy of our disdain.
Yeah.
God, a rivalry. Let's
see. I don't think there is one right now. Actually, you know what? No, there is. I do have an answer for this. That I kind of like.
Hang on. Let me think it through here. I'm trying to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cowboys-Redskins, that one still works, but I wouldn't argue it's one of the greatest rivalries. Neither is Cowboys Philadelphia anymore. Not like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of where the fights break out.
I'm going to throw out Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Speaking of fights breaking out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're exactly right.
That goddamn game was brutal.
No, that's. But you know, that's not a rivalry, I don't think. I mean, there's no history to it.
It's true, right? Because the Bengals are just finally pulling their head out of their ass and becoming a good franchise.
Well, I feel
it might get there, but I don't know that it's there yet. Pittsburgh Baltimore was a great contender, but I think Baltimore is I think they're in trouble.
I think rivalry doesn't mean what it used to mean because the NFL has evolved. Used to be, you know, you had players that were with you for the whole
correct.
Crime. And now you're just as likely to see that guy on the other side of the ball, except for your franchise player.
Right, and as a result of that, teams aren't as good for as long either. Even when you have them, they don't last that long. A couple of years ago, the answer to this question was the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks.
Yep, and I was thinking about that one.
But the Niners are terrible now.
Yeah. But, you know, terrible is relative with as much parity as...
Not in San Francisco, it's not.
I don't know. I mean, San Francisco might turn it around.
Okay. Turn it into what? Into the ocean?
No. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last year.
That's true. But I think that's... I still don't think they're going to improve on 5-11.
Really?
Yeah, that team's got some real talent. Like, we'll get into that when we get into our teams.
Okay.
But yeah, with Peyton retired, you could have made a case for last year for Broncos Patriots.
Oh yeah, because
of Manning Brady. Yeah, I don't think there's a definitive one right now. I think Pittsburgh Cincinnati's looming.
Oh, please.
I think if Tony Romo can ever get back on the field, Cowboys Giants makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are maybes.
So they play on the 18th, don't they? Pittsburgh and the Bengals?
It's something early, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's week two.
Yeah.
They got the Redskins first off, but I'm pretty sure that they're playing the Bengals next. I didn't even look it up.
And I think it's worth mentioning that I believe one of the Bengals will be under suspension for trying to murder a Steeler. So, maybe?
Oh, this it's going to be a good week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so this is kind of in the same area. Question number six, and then we'll get into some detailed division analysis here. Okay. Who's the new clown franchise of the NFL?
The new clown franchise?
Yeah. They are going to be terrible every fucking year, and everybody knows it.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you're saying new.
Yeah.
Because I would go for the Browns right off the bat.
Okay.
Are we taking the Browns off the table? Because they've always been the clown franchise.
They have been. For a while, you know, Riyad and I had this running joke where we referred to the Raiders as your Oakland Raiders. The idea is that in the sentence, you're trying to give them away. But you don't want them. The Browns certainly have to be considered, I think. But they have a new regime again, and they seem to know what the hell they're doing.
Man. I don't know.
What about the Lions?
The Lions? Well, I mean, they're another perennially bad team.
Exactly.
But yeah, I thought you said new.
Because it used to be the Raiders. The Raiders had that shit locked up.
Oh, I think the Browns have been worse than the Raiders. Even when the Raiders were at their nadir, I still think the Browns are worse.
Actually, the loss percentage is actually favors, quote-unquote, the Raiders during that time frame. Oakland had been really bad for about a decade.
Yeah, but the Browns have been bad.
They have been, but the Browns inexplicably did have a playoff season in there. Cleveland was the second worst team. Unbelievably, right?
No kidding. That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Dolphins, the very height of mediocrity.
Yeah. I thought about that too. Because, you know, Ryan Tannehill, we're still waiting to see if he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
By the way, NFL, the answer is no. Miami, the answer is no. You need to move on.
Yeah, the Lions are woeful. We'll see with the Rams.
The Rams have too much talent to be terrible.
Oh, they found
a way. That's your mediocre team.
Nature finds a way. Yeah, I think Lions and Browns.
Yeah.
Really, I mean.
You know, the Colts would be there if not for Andrew Luck.
My God, I love Andrew Luck, though.
Isn't that amazing, though? He's probably worth six or seven wins.
No, yeah, he really is. That sucker is something else.
Yeah. That team is really bad behind him.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. He's going to drag them along. He's going to make his money, though.
He's going to run with them for the next 7 years.
I know.
Make a meta verb. Good enough to get you to keep you competitive by yourself, and as a result, you're never going to have any draft picks to help you. And your GM's a jackass, so he's not going to make good selections or trade back, or he's going to overpay free agents, and it's just going to be hell each and every year.
Yeah.
So you just die because your body gives out on you.
What about the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if Riyad were here, he'd be in on that. But you know, they almost made the playoffs last year.
I know. That's why I didn't throw them out first. But
yeah,
I think they're worthy of consideration.
Yeah.
San Diego, I don't know what to make of them.
Well, they somehow failed to sign a slotted rookie contract. So. That's Philip Rivers is doing the Andrew Luck thing on the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I think that actually is your answer.
Now, could you say that Drew Brees is doing the same thing with New Orleans?
No, I'm going to say that. That's a thing.
He's doing the Andrew Luck in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Now, we're calling it doing the Andrew Luck. Is there a more historical reference to this that might be more apropos?
It's the Romo.
Oh, no.
Keyshawn, that team was really bad for a long time, except for him. He dragged them to 8-8.
I think there's a better quarterback than that has slummed it.
Archie Manning?
Yeah, that's a good one. I was going back that far and trying to think of those great quarterbacks that just didn't have any. You know, Marino.
That could be it. That could be it. I'm at a disadvantage. When I really started being to understand the game, Marino was well past his prime.
Oh.
And that's what I remember, like that, just that shitty, whiny old guy.
but he was still playing.
That's true, and it's not. But it's not fair for me to judge him by the worst part of his career.
Oh, yeah. Marino's getting early in my recollection, but Marino would be the one going back far enough about. All right, who's the best quarterback that slummed it the longest, that earned the spot of being that when all future quarterbacks are slumming it, he is the reference upon which those quarterbacks.
How about Elway?
No, Elway won it.
Okay, so one of the conditions is you never have you can't be a champion at any point.
Well, I think that if you get a championship,
it's just stigmata your whole career.
if you get a championship under your belt with that team, yeah. Now, but New Orleans, that's a unique situation there because they got a championship. So, can you say Drew Brees is doing it again? I guess you can revert back. So I shouldn't say that you get a championship, but only if you revert back.
Yeah, I don't know. This has gotten so complex, I don't know how to answer the question anymore.
Oh, that's when we know we got a good question. All right,
That's six.
That's six. That's the touchdown right there.
Right. Okay, so which conference do you want to tackle first, National or American? You're the guest here.
Let's do the American, and then we'll build up.
Okay, I'm going to start west to east because I'm on the West Coast. Right. That takes us to the AFC West.
Yeah, home of the San Diego Chargers.
Yes, and it doesn't get much better from there.
What?
So we got we have KC, which has an Andy Reid problem.
Yeah, they do. They're infected with it.
Yeah, it's like a cancer.
They caught it all up and down.
Yeah, our boy JC's knee is not right yet.
See a doctor and get rid of it.
No, he needs to. They rebuilt it. It's just it's not done being built.
But their schedule looks so good.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, listen, KC is not going to be bad. They may win the division. It's a really weird division. Because we have the Trevor Siemian Denver Broncos, which we already discussed. We have KC, San Diego, and we have the Oakland Raiders.
Yep.
Possibly the resurgent Oakland Raiders.
Possibly.
Possibly.
I think Denver's going down. Raiders are coming up. San Diego's a non-factor. I'm a believer in the Chiefs in that division.
Okay. I think I'm leaning that way. I don't love their ceiling with Alex Smith and Andy Reid.
You know,
the captain check down.
You're absolutely right. Alex Smith is a journeyman quarterback.
Who's going nowhere.
Right. Exactly. That's the – you know, the journeyman who has finished his journey. Oh, man, that hurt.
Someone's going to win that division, I think, but I don't think it matters. I think that's where we landed on. Will be an utterly irrelevant factor.
Alex Smith just somewhere out there right now got a cramp in his shoulder, just a little twitch. He's like, someone spoke really ill of me. He could tell. Just could sense it. Like Yoda.
I got a stat for you. Oh, Kansas City, Alex Smith went an entire season without throwing a touchdown to a wide receiver in 2014.
Holy shit.
In today's NFL, he pulled that off.
That's amazing.
It really is. It's so bad, it's good.
You have to try to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck those guys.
They did. A receiver did not score a touchdown until week 17, and Smith was out with an injury.
Oh, my God. That sounds like it's on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, receivers are down the field. He doesn't like to throw down the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy shit. I take it back. Oakland Raiders.
Well, no. Someone has to win it. And Casey's defense is really good.
Yeah, they are.
But they'll be in there.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
And Oakland's got to prove it, so we'll see. I think we can agree that whoever wins it just doesn't matter that much.
Right.
All right, let's moving on. Let's go AFC North.
Okay, so, oof, man, what an abysmal division.
It's good.
Baltimore Steelers.
I think Baltimore has an age problem. They finally stopped hitting on all their draft picks.
Yeah.
I don't think that team is going to be very good.
What about Cincinnati?
I think Cincy, by DVOA, was one of the best teams in the NFL last year.
Yeah, I agree. They were.
And if they didn't melt down against Pittsburgh,
And
they did melt down against Pittsburgh in the Murder Bowl.
Yeah, they really did. They melted the hell down.
Yeah. They lost some receivers, but
yeah,
they're returning the rest of that awesome team.
I like Cincy.
I do too. Pittsburgh is going to be good, though.
Yeah.
They're going to have to keep Ben upright, though.
That's the trick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's proven more sturdy than other quarterbacks.
Oh, he's unkillable.
Yeah.
But they did. But last year when they broke his jaw, for instance, he did have to come out. His doctor would not let him come back out with a broken jaw.
he still wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, it's just No, so that'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm in on those two teams, but I think Baltimore will be competitive, but that's some tough competition.
Let's circle back for a second. AFC West, who do you have coming out of that on top of the West? You got to pick one. I pick the Chiefs.
I'm gonna go Oakland. I want to believe in Oakland. I don't love that pick, but what the hell?
Okay, so now AFC North, same question.
I got the Bengals.
Yeah, I do too. I'm with you. Although
if they send two teams to the end of the playoffs, I'm not going to be surprised at all.
Oh, all right.
I suspect they will.
What division's next, my friend?
AFC South.
South. Let's
see. Boy, if we could just write off a whole division, this one I might want to do that for.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember who's in there. It's the Titans.
The Indianapolis, Andrew Luck.
Colts. And Texans, right?
And the Texans.
There's just four, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The Jags, who we previously crossed off.
I really should, pull up the internet and look at this shit.
Just casting about in the darkness. I'm not working for you.
Well, so far I feel all right. My problem is that, being a child of the 80s, I have a propensity for thinking of Cincinnati as being very shitty. And other than
ironically, they were good in the 80s.
Only in that one little run, and then they went right back.
It was the 90s. They were terrible, though.
And they never actually won the big game, did they?
No.
No, they had a good dance.
Well, no, but they were really good.
Yeah, they
went on 10. Yeah.
All right.
They had a nice 5-year run.
All right, AFC South. Texans,
I think the Texans are the best team in that division, sadly.
Right, yeah.
And you know, actually, the saddest thing is I cannot remember the fourth team right now.
It's Tennessee, Jacksonville.
There we go. That's who was the Titans, and I hate that team. I hate they kept Mike Mularkey as the coach. That has never been – that's terrible. That's just so bad. They have no receivers. They have no defense.
The thing is that they really have a good schedule.
Just because they're awful.
Yeah, but I mean, if they were good, they could run the whole thing. It's just that the teams they're facing are abysmal.
I feel like that's an argument for Houston.
who's their starting quarterback?
Brock Osweiler.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry, I forgot. Which is still probably the best quarterback they've had there in many years.
Yeah, you're right. Did they cut the what's his name from the Cowboys?
Oh, I have no idea. I haven't known who the backup is. I think T.J. Yates was cut, so he could be Whedon.
I thought it was Whedon.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if he's still on the team. I'm looking for the Cowboys. Yeah, I think he's still there. Yeah.
Yeah.
at the ripe young age of 32.
Oh, fucking Brandon Whedon, I swear to God.
All right, so you're taking
if Watt can be himself at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. They wouldn't even need to. Osweiler doesn't need to be that much better.
No, he doesn't. I think he might be all right, though.
Yeah. We have no way of knowing.
I'll take the Texans in the AFC South.
Yeah. I actually would just like to take the whole conference and put it in a bowl of fire. Is that an option?
That would be awesome. Because I would love to see that talent.
Just to take the trash out.
What talent there is spread across the rest of the AFC would be better.
All right. Let's press on. We're on the AFC East.
Oh. New England.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And even because when Brady gets back, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, he's gonna have some rage.
Yep.
Is it? You don't want to have those good quarterbacks.
That team is going to rally like no one's business.
Right. The us versus them mentality can work wonders in the NFL.
Especially when them is the New York Jets, the Buffalo Bills, and the Miami Dolphins.
That's right, yeah. Well, the them is the rest of the NFL, if you're talking about
Patriots. Yeah.
Remember, the rivalry is against everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ryan brothers, I think, are going down this year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They got some problems there. The Jets have cap problems. The Dolphins just don't know how to build a team.
Oh.
I think they might have a coach now, finally, with Adam Gase. So I think there's hope for the future, but the future is not now. They got to move on from Tannehill. They got to realize that's just not going to be a thing.
Did they get Arian Foster?
They did.
Oh, that's so sad.
All running backs are sad.
Fine, and the Dolphins cheerleaders look emaciated.
It's all the cocaine.
Well, that's how I pick who's going to win, who's feeding their cheerleaders best.
That's an interesting strategy.
They're not feeding those Dolphins cheerleaders. It looks like Sally Struthers ought to be on that picture.
I think the Pats win this one easily, and I think it's the only team that goes to the playoffs from this division.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Maybe the AFC West sends two teams, the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Yeah.
In some order.
Yeah.
And maybe Steelers, Bengals. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think you're right.
Assuming they stay healthy, who the hell, I mean, if someone gets hurt, who the hell knows, right?
Right, no kidding.
Pittsburgh is not the same team without Roethlisberger, for example.
No, I don't even know who their backup is.
I think it's Landry Jones, inexplicably.
Weird. You know, at some point, these people are going to have to start playing.
Yeah, and it's not pretty. That's how Brandon Whedon is still in the league.
Yeah,
there are not enough quarterbacks that know what to do
with a football. Hang on to that because I've got that as our special extra point going for two.
Brandon Whedon?
No, something else.
Related. Okay, all right, let's go. Let's do NFC. NFC West.
Okay, NFC West. Let me think who's in there. I know the Rams, 49ers, Seahawks. What's the one I'm forgetting?
The Cards.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, Cards.
I like the Cardinals, too. I like the Seahawks also. But I'm giving the edge to Arizona because Seattle cannot block.
I don't know. I don't feel like
they work around it really well because of Russell Wilson and the fact that Darrell Bevell is an underrated OC, in my estimation.
That whole team formed its very nature around the man beast that was their former running back.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
He is. He was gone last year, though.
I know. And they weren't the same.
It's true. But they were a second round out.
Yeah. I still think they're not. Well, I think you're right that they make it to the playoffs. I don't think that they're contender to the Super Bowl, though.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Cardinals, on the other hand, I give them a higher advantage.
I'm real high on Arizona.
Well, I was high on them last year.
Yeah, me too. Now they need Carson to play the whole year, and he's older, so that's a caveat.
Who's better, or who's worse? The Rams or the 49ers?
San Francisco.
It's worse than the Rams?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Chip Kelly is there now. So that's one of the talking points. But, I mean, Blaine Gabbert's the starting quarterback, man.
What is Mike the Room Troll? What's his sense of the situation?
The 49ers are, and I quote, dead to me. End
okay,
quote.
That's the situation. All right.
It's dire. Know. It is the direst of straits. This is like two-thirds of the way through Battle of the Bastards in Season 6 of Game of Thrones, bad.
So Mike's standing in a pile of 49ers trying to climb to the top for air.
So he can breathe, yes. Why don't you enjoy that visual for a moment?
Oh. Or is Mike the one that's running away from them and the leader?
It's a rich buffet of chaos. You can take a pick.
I picture Mike like breaking through a door and having 100 arrows to him. And he and says, "Fuck the 49ers," and then he dies.
Yeah, okay. It's not good in there, man. That team is right. Yeah.
All right, so that's West. What's next?
Let's go NFC North.
NFC North.
And this is where I need you to help me out here. Because I was not in on the Packers. But you and Wabe in particular thought they were going to be – you both picked them in our little round robin that we have amongst our buddies.
Yeah.
The playoffs. So
hey, didn't I
top?
Did I come out on top in that?
You might have. I should check that.
I went undefeated. I have to go back and remind myself. Shows how much I.
That would be amazing, man.
I know that'd be a miracle on my end if that actually happened. Let's just pretend I did.
I feel like we all blew some. I feel like we all blew something. And I think you missed something. I think you got one of the conference championship games wrong.
I would be. I'd be lying.
You opened 8-0 though, which is the hard part.
Here we go, playoff picks. There's a lot of emails.
Am I just bitter that I had Eddie Lacy last year in my auction team, and he showed up fat, and no one knew this, and he single handedly crippled my team.
Oh, I was 9-1.
It was one of the conference championships.
Oh, I think it was the Super Bowl because I had Carolina.
Oh, then you would have been – well, there's 12 games, dude. No, I'm sorry. There's 10 games. 11 games. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. All right. So you would have been 10-1, theoretically.
So I was 9-2 for the
– That's still really good.
Let's see. Yeah, I screwed up New England over Denver. I had New England over Denver, and Denver won it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my other loss. Fucking New England.
That was a tight game, man. You're almost right.
Okay, so going back to the Packers.
Yeah, help me out here. What am I missing? Like, am I crazy that I think Minnesota is going to be a factor here?
Minnesota? Wait a minute, what? Minnesota?
Yeah, also in the North. I could be. This could just be like there's two head coaches in the NFL that are relatively new head coaches that I love, and I can't believe it took them to be that long to get there. And one of them is Mike Zimmer.
Okay.
And he really has got that defense plan really, really well. They still got all day.
Man, I just think Minnesota just got decimated at quarterback.
Did they, though?
Yeah.
I don't think, and maybe that's where I'm wrong here. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater has shown us that he's that good.
Oh.
I think they definitely lost something, but I don't think they're crippled.
I think they're crippled.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Teddy Bridgewater certainly might be.
Yeah, damn well, man. Yeah, it's not that Bridgewater's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's more that when you've got your starting quarterback, very few folks have a very solid number two.
And that's correct.
And nothing else should tell you that the fact that they didn't even trust in their number two and they went out to go get somebody else.
That's damning. I can't fault your logic there. They spent a first rounder inexplicably on Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I just it's got to be crippling for them to do that. and have no faith in whoever they had as a backup, and that you've got Bradford, and again, maybe Bradford will turn it around.
But, well, that's the thing. He doesn't have to turn it around. He just has to be not awful.
Well, I just mean turn it around compared to where he's been elsewhere, or how he is.
Which was awful.
Which was awful. But that's, you know, with the Rams, you can't fault him there.
Oh, I can.
With Philadelphia, you can't fault him there. No, I mean, his offensive line was just porous.
That wasn't the problem. He's just not a very good quarterback. I've watched the film. Like he's late with his reads. He's not particularly accurate. He's just not very good.
No, I just feel like he's always.
And then the fact that he's brittle on top of it.
I just think he's been running for his life. I mean, it's like all these hot quarterbacks that get sucked into those shitty teams for the first part of their careers, and they look terrible because they're running for their lives half the time. The pocket's collapsing on them at all any given moment.
That's certainly a phenomenon. I don't know if Bradford can use that as a defense, though.
Well, look at Dak Prescott. He has lucked into the best situation you could ever hope for as a rookie.
I disagree there, too.
With the offensive line that he's got, at least he's not going to be running for his life.
The second part of the equation, though, that you're missing is a good defense is critical. And Dallas does not have that even a little bit.
Good defense is critical.
To bring in those young QBs around, like Roethlisberger as a rookie.
Tell me more. Why is having a good defense good for a rookie quarterback?
It takes the pressure off you. You don't press. You're not forcing throws that aren't there because you know the defense can get back off the field.
Okay, I can see that.
Or as Peyton Manning proved, it's also really important for incredibly old, crippled quarterbacks as well.
Oh, well, my God. Yeah, well, if you're saying that having a good defense is great for a team regardless, I'll say hell yes.
Sure.
I mean, defense is what win championships. Yeah. I mean, as no more evidence than last year. Man, that defense won that fucking game.
Carolina helped him with poor play selection.
Yeah, but oh, Lord, that defense was dominating. Peyton was playing with a broken fucking neck. I don't care what they say. He had
steroids
pumping in Peyton for the last 2 years.
No. Yeah, I'm all in. In fact, I'm actually really impressed that Peyton was able to humble himself to, like, having been the guy for so long to being Captain Checkdown. You know that had to kill him.
Yeah, he couldn't throw farther than about 15 yards.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
And it looked like he was hurting him to do so.
Anyway,
like it physically hurt.
I'm not ready to write Bradford off yet. I could be soon. But I don't know. This is kind of playing out with multiple young quarterbacks that have been running for their lives. So
that's definitely a phenomenon. I don't know that it's right at work here, but
yeah, you know.
Now, I see the point.
Yeah, it's different from like a RG3. Now RG3, you know, he's got a different kind of game, and that different kind of game got slaughtered so far. It hadn't really found its place, so.
Well, no. It's just the
kind of like, well, even if he had a great O-line, I'm not sure that he would blossom into a great quarterback with a good O-line. But you give me Sam Bradford or what's the one that we just got for the Cowboys?
Sanchez?
Yep,
Sanchez. Sanchez. Oh, those are both. Sanchez is terrible, man.
I just lump them in the same category where they spent the early part of their careers running for their lives.
But see, with Sanchez, that's 100% inaccurate.
Really? What offensive line?
Sanchez's Jets were challenging for the AFC title every single year.
I just didn't think that his offensive line was that good. I never felt
it was quite. It wasn't exceptional, but it was above average. DeBrickashaw Ferguson, man, played every game in his career before retiring. That's pretty impressive.
It is.
Yeah. And they had a great defense.
So, again, the Packers? Is that the question?
like it should I be in on Green Bay? Like, is it just Aaron Rodgers is a beast?
Yes.
Because he is.
Honest to God, I feel like. And this is going towards my 2-point conversion question, but quarterbacks make the NFL.
Under this rule set, they sure as hell do.
Yes. And I just, you see it happen again and again and again. And so when you've got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, that is like a makes your stepping stool for getting to the next level so much easier.
Can I give you a stat that's going to make you shit yourself in disbelief?
Sure.
Ryan Tannehill, Captain Aggie of the Miami Dolphins himself, has more 4,000-yard passing seasons than Joe Montana and John Elway combined.
The fuck?
That's a real thing.
Oh.
Doesn't that just hurt?
Well,
that they've gotten so far away from what they used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's horrible.
Statistics are a bitch. Yeah. You know, as soon as you start doing that, you got to start taking into account everything else.
Sure.
You know, with the NFL.
That one is just that's galling though. Is the word I want to use.
But going back to Green Bay and the Vikings, for me, the differentiator is the quarterback. And the Vikings just got I feel crippled. Now somebody could prove me wrong, but and Bradford might very well. But I don't know that they've got that great an offensive line anyway. We'll see. Green Bay, though, I mean, that's why I go Green Bay over the Vikes.
Okay. My understanding is that the Vikings' offensive line isn't graded very well either, so that's probably a good point. They get by on Peterson being a hammer.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah. Okay. I thought Green Bay looked really bad during the regular season consistently.
During the regular season last
year? Yeah, yeah. No, but then the old Green Bay Packers turned up in the playoffs. And I wanted to ask you and Riyadh, had he been able to join us, specifically because both you guys had seemed to be expecting that based on your picks.
That was entirely it, was thinking that Green Bay was kind of lurkers. They're playing just enough to get by until they got to the playoffs, and then they turned it on.
Okay.
And I wish there was a website. Now, honestly, it might be out there. America, please tell me. I wish there was a website that would take and set up a database that shows how many players are in their contract years. Just by sheer count of the number of players that are in a contract year. And correlate that with victories. I bet it would be staggering to look at. But I don't know how to go and pull up the data on the contract years thing to tell, all right, that player's in a contract year, that player's in one. I'm sure the data's out there. I just don't have the foggiest idea of where it is or how.
Of what that Google search is, right?
Exactly. You know, what do you pull together to get at that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, contracts are so, you know, when you say contract year, I know that there's certain termination, but there's also a lot of other things at play. But I would really love to get my arms on that data and see, because I bet that it's a huge player. And probably not in the worst teams, you know, as we're sitting here talking about, you know, teams like the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears. How many contract guys they have ain't going to really make much of a difference to the Bears and the Lions.
But it makes
a whole hell of a lot of difference to those teams like the Vikings and the Packers and the Seahawks and things like that. So I'd love to see it, but I don't know where it is or how to get my hands on it. So that's the NFC North.
Yeah.
We're going to do the NFC South here?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I hate every one of these teams, except for Carolina.
I love how you start like I remember who they are. I'm trying. I hate
the Carolina Panthers, the Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons.
The Aints.
Bucks and the Saints, right?
Yep. You got it.
Mm.
Woof, right?
What about the Falcons? Wait a minute, Panthers?
Yeah, Carolina's good. Carolina should contend again, actually.
Yeah.
I have to be honest, I feel like they kind of had a little bit of a charmed season last year.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then I've been saying for years that the pick I've been the most wrong on, I started to say wrong, I just realized that wasn't the actual word. Good for me.
That's all right.
Is Cam Newton. I thought he was a terrible pick. And my God, he's a son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we're really going to see something here this year with Cam to see if what he does when he gets to the goal and then didn't get to slam dunk it can he come back? You know, we've seen him where it's like everybody's against him, and then he pulled it together and put together a monster season.
Right.
Can he?
Can he bounce back?
Can he? Yeah, exactly.
Get
can
back
he
on the horse. Yeah. Well, being in the NFC South is going to help.
No shit. Oh, it helped tremendously because those other three teams. I mean, the Falcons. I don't know what to do with the Falcons. I will tell you that. I didn't know last year what to do with the Falcons. I will tell you that they were a thorn in my side to try to pick who's going to beat them and when they're going to win and when they're not. It's like they're just
– The Atlanta Falcons have a two-prong problem. They don't have any defensive talent right now. Like, I defy you to name a defensive player on that team. Secondly, Matt Ryan is just not that good.
Yep.
That's really hard to overcome when those two things come together. As a matter of fact, I think it's really a testament to Kyle Shanahan, UT alum and their current offensive coordinator, that they're as competitive as they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have the Saints. They're in cap hell.
Yep.
And, yeah, I just oof.
who's Atlanta's quarter or coach?
It is another Pete Carroll defensive coordinator's highest signing.
Is it that Quinn guy?
Dan Quinn. You have it right.
Oh.
Yeah, right? I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like him better than Bradley.
Okay, I agree.
But, I mean, the thing is, you have to understand about Seattle's structure is the DC is Carroll.
Oh, yeah. I just don't know what to make of the Falcons. I never know what to make of them. I'm stumped. But you know, the Saints, you know who they are. Tampa Bay. Are you a big believer in Jameis Winston?
I like Jameis, actually. I like what I've seen. There's just nothing around him yet.
Yeah.
That team's at least a year away.
Who's he throwing to?
Mike Evans, who's a badass.
Okay, so is that it?
Mike Evans got Johnny Manziel drafted in the first round. That's how good Mike Evans is.
Okay, who's the running back?
It is the resurgent Doug Martin.
What?
Yep. Just when we all gave him up for dead, he bounced back last year. So he's had 4 years. He's had two good ones and two terrible ones.
So is he going to they're going to be running by committee, or just we're going to hope and pray off of Martin's renaissance?
No. Everyone's got an RBBC right now, you know, by committee. But Martin's is the lead back for sure.
And I'm trying to think.
This is irrelevant when they play the Panthers, though.
Did they have that big? Who's that big? He was a rookie, wasn't he? The rookie for Tampa Bay was Cousin Donovan. That's it. Donovan Smith. We call all the football players. My family calls any player that has the last name of Smith a cousin.
Okay.
We, you know, like Cousin Emmett and Cousin Donovan.
Sure.
And he's a hoss.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's enough.
Well, it puts him ahead of Atlanta.
I don't know. I don't know what to do with Atlanta. Let me make it clear. I don't know what to do about Atlanta.
The Falcons are one of those teams you just push into the sea. They're right there.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Okay, so Carolina wins, and it doesn't really matter because the South is just shit.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Which brings us last to the NFC East, and this is going to hurt.
Oh, cookie. Son of a bitch.
This was Dallas. It might still be Dallas.
I was about to say, it's not like there's a whole lot of other great teams in our division. Are you a believer in the Giants?
No.
Neither am I.
They can't block. They're terrible on defense. They should be a little bit better because they overpaid a handful of guys to get marginally better. But ultimately, it doesn't matter.
No.
But, you know, they do have Eli, and Eli has this weird thing where he oscillates between being the best quarterback in the league and the worst quarterback in the league every week.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if Eli is feeling it, he can win you a game by himself.
He can. He can't. Which puts them in the running.
Right.
I don't see Washington doing anything.
See, I think Washington is the best built team. They don't have the talent there yet.
Yeah.
That hurts to say.
they're a solid, mediocre team, though.
Yeah, I think that's actually – and, you know, in the NFC East, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
The Eagles are transitioning, so they're gonna be a non-factor.
Yeah. I think – boy, the Cowboys have no defense.
No, they don't. Now, they're going to get some help come October.
Right.
So if they can just get if Marinelli can get them to average for the last three quarters of the season, and if Romo would say, for example, plays half the year,
see,
I don't hate that, right?
I'm not sweating the offense as much. You
know, no.
The defense that really is.
Yeah, Prescott has proven already to be more competent than any of the jackasses they tried out last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Sanchez is purely a depth signing.
Boy, I don't like the Cowboys' schedule, though. I looked at it earlier this year.
Yeah.
It's not good. I mean, none of them are an easy win until you get to Cleveland. That's like week 9.
That might be when Romo's back. And that's sobering, right? I feel like half the year is a best case scenario for that.
Giants, Redskins, Bears, 49ers. So, all right, you got the 49ers. Then Cincinnati.
See, I hate all those teams are bad. And that Giants game's at home, right? It's at Jerry World.
Yeah, it's at Jerry World. But I don't think being at Jerry World helps our team one bit. I don't feel like they've ever been.
Not against New York. The Giants get up for Dallas.
Yeah, and I never felt like
we get their A game, and it's so frustrating.
That much of an advantage there at Jerry World. I think we play better on the road than we do at home.
So in some venues, it's true.
I don't know if the stats prove that out, but Bears, 49ers, but then it gets ugly, and it's the Bengals, the Packers.
Oof.
Yeah, then it gets better. Eagles, Browns, then Steelers, Ravens, Redskins, Vikings. Giants, Bucks, then Lions, then Eagles.
You know, Key, I'm going to go against you there. I think that's actually a pretty good season overall. I don't think that's that bad at all.
I don't know. It could be worse.
I don't even think that looks that bad once Romo gets back.
I'm just thinking about our defense. I'm really just looking
at listen, when I think about that defense, I want to vomit.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
If we had a decent defense, this would be a great run.
Yeah.
But with our defense being what it is, these teams will skewer it.
Let me throw something else out there that I haven't mentioned yet. I think Ezekiel Elliott is a lock to get hurt this year.
You do?
I think that's money in the bank because Garrett does not monitor touches whatsoever.
Huh.
And that kid has been playing college football. An elite program for sure, but he's been playing college football, and now he's going to the pros, and he's going to need time to get his body acclimated to that new kind level of beating he's going to get this year.
Yeah.
And Dallas is not going to do it. I think they're going to run him into the ground.
I don't know, man. They've got – well, didn't I hear that McFadden's got a more serious injury than they thought?
No, as a matter of fact, people are trying – there's been talk of trading McFadden. But you're forgetting McFadden is not even the backup running back. They've got Morris,
I know that. I'm not forgetting it. I'm saying that McFadden's injured, though, right?
Yes, but I think he's on track to be back very shortly.
Oh, I thought it was.
It was just a stupid injury. Like he dropped a cell phone and somehow dislocated his elbow. I'm not even exaggerating. I think that's what happened.
Oh, I just heard that he was worse than they thought. But,
yeah, and I think initially that's what it was because they were like, "Oh, he dropped the cell phone. Oh, he's fine. He's dying. He somehow managed to kill himself with a cell phone. What? Oh, no. How is that a thing?"
Oh shit.
Yeah, but I think the thing that hurts me with the Cowboys is they have a guy who can spell him, and they probably won't play him because they're just stupid.
I hope Morris gets to see a lot of time.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that they play him a lot. I like him.
So who wins the division?
Oh, shit.
I think we're in agreement that someone has to win it, but that it doesn't matter.
Redskins.
It's one of those.
Unless Dallas's defense just starts doing something they've not done. I don't know. Skandrick's going to be back, but God, it feels bad when you say, "Oh, maybe Skandrick's going to be back." That'll be,
Well, Skandrick is good. I will. I have to say, Marinelli's made them look a lot better than I think they should.
Yeah, but.
But now they've crippled his front seven with the fact with drug use.
I'm going to pull up Mac Brown. Mac Brown, yesterday before the game, they asked him, "All right, who's going to win it?" He said, "My heart says the Longhorns. My head says Notre Dame, but I got to go with my heart." So I'm going to do the same thing. I'll say my heart's for the Cowboys. My head says the Redskins, but I'm going to go for the Cowboys. And I think I'm wrong.
I like Dallas, too. I don't know why. I can think of 1,000 reasons why I don't. But ultimately, I don't think Washington's talent level is quite there yet. Although I'm sorry to say they're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
The Giants are super erratic. Odell Beckham Jr., although a badass, has never finished a complete season yet, which everyone suddenly forgot because he can catch things with one hand.
Right.
They also can't block for Eli for shit, which makes me wonder if we've got a Manning injury coming. And, Philly is just really trying to extricate themselves from a really bad run from Kelly.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Philly got decimated.
Yeah. Although they've come out of it surprisingly well. They got a first runner for Bradford somehow. I can't believe that. But they did.
Yeah. They're coming along. They have Carson Wentz, right?
They do. He's probably going to start.
Yeah.
As long as his ribs are okay.
Yeah, I think their future's looking good. I just don't think it's this year.
Oh, no. It may not even be next year. I think Wentz is super raw. But, yeah. So I think for the wild cards, I like whoever doesn't win the North. I think the North is going to send two teams.
Really? Really?
Mm-hmm. I think Green Bay and Minnesota go in some order, and in the West, both the Hawks and the Cardinals make it.
Hawks, Cardinals, Panthers, Green Bay, and either the Redskins or the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. But you need one more wild card there.
One more?
Oh, yeah. Maybe you're not high on the Vikes, but I think that makes sense there.
That's the one I was just thinking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're to the wild card. Who gets to the playoffs?
Well, we're coming to question 7 here, my man.
All right.
Who do you got in the Super Bowl on both sides?
Oh, son of a bitch. New England versus the Cardinals.
That's what I got as well, and that's actually that's the Vegas' most favorite pairing
as
well.
Kidding. No kidding.
Mm-mm.
Huh. How about that? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Although, there's part of me that it's so hard to take a season where has anybody ever lost the Super Bowl then come back and won it the next year?
No, but Denver did it within a 3-year time span just last year.
Yeah, but they've never come back to back.
No.
So that's the only thing that made me think, no, not the Panthers. Because part of me wants to say, the Panthers.
The Panthers are going to be involved in the conversation for sure, right? But they did lose Josh Norman. That's going to hurt.
Yeah. And I think New England's just purely because it's us against everybody.
I think the rage factor is going to factor heavily.
I don't like
the field in the AFC.
Lord Voldemort is not happy.
Nope. No, he's not. But Cincy and Pittsburgh are going to have something to say about it.
Yeah, but I think Cincy and Pittsburgh might get each other ejected.
That's what happened last time.
Right. You're going to take each other out.
Yeah. That seems like a very plausible scenario. We'll have to see because, all this is going to come down to injuries.
What's the over-under on the number of players that are ejected from the Cincy-Pittsburgh game? There's probably the biggest line on that.
It's my understanding if you're degenerate enough, you can bet on anything.
Exactly. I'm going to bet 5 planes.
5 total?
Yeah, 5.
Damn. I'll take 5 the under.
You think under 5?
I'll take the under on that, yeah. If that's your line you're setting.
I think 5 is a reasonable spot.
Yeah.
Because honestly, what goes through my head is there's going to be some kind of brawl. Yeah. There's going to be a second brawl. And I'm counting on that second brawl. It's not going to be all in one fight. I'm not suggesting it's going to be the knives and West Side Story. It's going to be several rounds of fighting going on.
Right.
And don't forget, they face each other twice.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Baltimore hates Pittsburgh also, so they're going to get a double punch in the testicles there.
So I'm counting both games. I'm not saying all in one game.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm saying that over the course of this season, between those two teams, they're going to be taking out 5 players.
Well, you know, if what we've been saying, positing here comes true, then there's a good chance they may play it 3 times, which helps you case more.
Is the third one in prison?
Well, it probably ought to be.
Yeah.
Or that dome that they have the Hunger Games in, at least.
There you go. Oh, I thought you were going to say Thunderdome.
That's basically what it is, right? All right, lay the two-point conversion on me, man.
The two-point conversion. So, the NFL, it has been my growing feeling over the last several years as the importance of the quarterback has come into play. That we do not see these standout quarterbacks anymore, particularly the last couple of years. There's Andrew Luck is the one that I can think of. Maybe Cam, maybe not. We'll see. But there's not that many. And it used to be it had quite a few more standout quarterbacks than you do these days. Now, you know, there's probably, what, 4, 3, maybe 3. And then you're into a second tier, and then third tier is irrelevant.
Sure.
There's probably only 2 top tier, and then a handful of second tier, and then the rest are scrubs. What do you think the NFL should do to try and help that situation that they haven't done already?
You're not the first person to notice this, and that right now is literally the billion-dollar question the league is facing. Yep. And it stems from the fact that the college football offenses have never been more – well, not I shouldn't say never, but haven't been this different from the pros in a long, long time.
Yeah.
The college is all about a spread system where the head coach, the OC, and 3 assistants do dance like bees on the sideline and make the reads for these quarterbacks. That is not the NFL by a long fucking shot.
Right, right.
Yeah. I do not know what the solution is beyond the fact that every year you need to take a quarterback if you don't have a franchise guy. And you don't select the athletes, you don't go to the big programs because those guys don't carry their teams. You look at pure guy. You look at guys that have pure prototypical passing stats and physique. And you take a shot.
Yeah.
Understanding that even then, he's probably not going to be the guy you want him to be.
Well, so you're right there about picking material that hopefully is good enough clay to shape into a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But my thought is that. That takes time. You have to learn these systems.
The statistics would suggest that that's actually not true. Usually within 10 games, these guys are what they're going to be. And that's actually something the NFL can improve upon. This thing that Miami is doing that it's taking 4 fucking years to evaluate Ryan Tannehill is stupid.
Right. That's too long.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I don't know that I'm there with these guys who they are who they are by game number 10.
I was shocked as well, but the math bears it out.
Well,
Yeah. Isn't it weird? It feels so counter. Well, it's so counterintuitive.
I think it's an error. I think it's more reflective of, oh no, that's how the NFL is behaving. I don't know that that means they're right.
Oh, you think it's the opposite? Most teams are pulling the plug too fast.
Exactly. Or because there's so many of these guys that don't have a good O-line in front of them that and they're getting drafted by these shitty teams and then pulling the plug, and so we're left with just tons of pulled plugs, and then the happy accidents, which are like take Tom Brady. How long was he in the system before he actually played?
Well, Brady was pressed into service very famously pretty quickly due to that injury to Bledsoe.
What was that? Wasn't that towards the end of his second year or something like that?
I think it was in the middle of his second. He was a second year player.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Right. And so, these rookies that are coming in playing 10 games with a shitty team and then getting tossed.
Sure.
I'm thinking that the statistics, right? It's just interpreting it that's in question. And I'm left going, how do you give these guys the exposure and time they need and still keep the game relevant? Or, in other words, how do you help the quarterbacks do better?
Well, far be it for me to
that's my
compliment
question.
Jason Garrett on anything he's done. And to be fair, this actually was Scott Linehan. But I really feel like it's time to zig when everyone else is zagging. You need to go back to the run game. A lot of these teams are making themselves one-dimensional.
Yes.
Carolina did it in the Super Bowl. They abandoned the run game early and allowed DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller to just tee off on them.
This is why we're friends.
Yeah.
This is why we're friends. Because I could not agree more. I have been saying this to anybody that'll listen, that I am looking for a resurgence in the run, not in any one team, in the entire NFL. Because at some point they're going to realize if we set our entire system up around one guy, look what happens. Unless you get the one guy and you're lucky, then you're screwed.
Right. And that's exactly what we're seeing every year.
Yes, exactly.
If you have that guy, you're in the derby. If not, you're just not.
Yeah. And so I keep on thinking, who's going to be the one to realize it? And it's more than just, well, let's get a stable of running back.
We know who it is, right?
The run.
Right.
No, I don't.
The guy who usually figures this shit out ahead of time is Belichick. But that's right now, given that the defenses are shifting to nickel as their base defense more and more, they're begging to be hit with the gash with the run.
Yes, and now let me ask you this: I agree, Belichick's the smartest one of the bunch that would see this and do it. But the only way I see that actually happening is when Tom Brady retires, and I'm not sure that Belichick's going to stick around after Tom Brady retires. I think Belichick.
It's fascinating conjecture. It really is.
You know what I mean? If he's the next year, I bet you would see the most hellacious run offense you ever seen in your fucking life.
Yeah, and they've done it during Brady's tenure too.
Hey, you know what? We maybe we'll see it with his first four games.
It wouldn't shock me. Now, I think right now New England does not have the personnel. I remember correctly. And this is where not having Wobby here is going to hurt us a little bit. But I think the strength of their O-line is at the tackle position, not at guard.
Okay.
So I think even if they wanted to, they wouldn't be quite as good at it as they'd like.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. So the answer is emphasize the run. That is a great answer. I just don't know who's actually going to see it and do it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting... I feel like Seattle wants to, but they've got an O-line problem right now.
Who's Seattle's running back now?
It is going to be Thomas Rawls. And it looks like Kristen Michael has earned himself some carries finally. They also took three running backs on day two and three in the draft this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the complete opposite of what Dallas did.
Yeah.
We're not going to spend a high pick, but we're going to bring a bunch of them in and see if we can find one – Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't get me started on how bitter I am about that.
All right. But, that was our two-point conversion. I think he actually converted it.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's an interesting question because you're right. There's just not enough cues to.
Last question, double overtime.
Okay.
You've got to try and reach out and break the plane.
All right. Yep, swoops it.
It's weird. I just had deja vu. That's fucked up. Did we have this podcast last year?
We did not.
Are you sure?
Yes.
This feels awful fucking familiar.
Football always comes up. We've never just dedicated one to it.
Oh, man.
It feels good, though.
Yes.
It feels real good.
It feels real good, particularly after this weekend.
Yeah. So it's about to feel real bad.
Who's your Super Bowl winner?
The winner?
Yep.
Man, I'm pulling for the Cards. Because Arians is that other coach I alluded to earlier.
Yep.
He's a unicorn. Like he's got all the personality traits for a good head coach, but he's also good at the X's and O's. A lot is resting on Carson Palmer, who is not a spring chicken.
That's right.
And I don't love that.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah.
So your answer is.
I'm at this juncture, this very early juncture, I like the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay. I'm going with New England.
That is always a good, safe, conservative pick.
Well, I'm not trying to be conservative. I think there's burning rage.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
And I would, you know, Lord Voldemort, I don't want to see Lord Voldemort win. I think they've done it enough. I'm not saying I'm cheering for them.
Mm-hmm.
I would be cheering for the Cards.
I gotcha.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
But if I have to sit here as a betting man going, the NFL just went out to get New England.
Yeah.
And if you couldn't pay, you know, a head coach that's looking to inspire his team couldn't pay for better inspiration than what they've got with the persecution complex that Lord Voldemort is going to be able to create.
Yeah. And Brady does play like – he rage plays as well as anybody.
Right?
I don't like the guy, but he's a good quarterback.
Yeah. Mm.
If I liked the talent overall on the roster a little bit better, I'd be right there with you. But I think they've got some holes.
Yeah, it's just
– Not enough not to be in the conversation, but – enough where I'm not ready to hand them a sixth ring. God bless America. Yeah, is it six rings now? No, actually, I guess it would be four. But, yeah.
Hey, last question.
Last question?
Yes, last question. Are you watching any of Simmons' new broadcasts on HBO?
I watched the first one and haven't come back since because I was so disgusted by it.
Okay, we're in the same boat.
Yeah. I love Bill Simmons. I think he's a really entertaining journalist. I think his podcast is exceptional. He's terrible on television.
Yeah.
And I didn't really enjoy him and Affleck jerking each other off to Brady for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of – I think the only part I like about that is he got through Affleck's normal demeanor towards interviewers.
So let us see the white trash that was underneath? Yeah.
Well, yeah. But hey, you know, if you can get to that, it's still fun to see. It's better than the standard "I'm Batman," you know, answers.
I guess, man.
All right, that's all I've got.
All right, Keyshawn Xavier from Austin, Texas. Thanks for being here, man.
You bet.
Let's go play
some football.
All right, yeah, it's coming, man. Hook 'em horns. I've been Cyrus Mortizavi, Kirkland, Washington, and Rise Again Productions at riseagainproductions.tumblr.com. Please follow me there and at the other social media that I can be found there. This episode of Full of Sound and Fury podcast can be listened to at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes and or SoundCloud. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2016.
Equanimous, motherfucker!